Thank you for this day as we gather, Lord, and as we approach now thy word, we pray that you bless our hearing and our hearts to open up, Father, to receive. May you open up, O Lord, our understanding, Lord, truly to thy word. For we live in the last day where they are, as thy word have already prophesied years, thousands of years ago, that there will be many false prophets and false Christs claiming to be somebody that they are not, and even blaspheming the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have said, Father, in your word, even 1,000 years ago, that the ignorance of man you once winked at, but now you will no longer wink at it. You will call them to repentance. And judgment time is here, Father, today. Even for those who are your children sitting before you, your word will judge every one of us. So we pray, Father, that our hearts, O Lord, be yield to you and to realize that we are sinners and that you are the Savior and thou art the Lord and thou art the Creator and we are but creatures of your creation. And that you are the potter and we are but the clay, Lord, and that truly we must yield to the hands of the Master Potter. So, Lord, we ask for your grace now. Open our eyes to thy word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 16. We are still continuing on the our series on the trail of the serpent. And you might find that, oh, why am I taking this so long on some part? And how come you're taking longer than usual? Because I want you to know that when we deal with Abraham, now, I want to deal with this man because our faith spring forth from this man. You must know that. So I want you to know that your roots, the roots of our faith is in this man. So I want you to know the kind of person Abraham was. Okay? Now he wasn't a perfect man. Alright? Nobody is perfect. He was not a perfect man. He made mistakes. Yes. But he was a man who do what he can. And the Lord is guiding him. And the Lord showed it to him. And we later we know, like, realize that God called him friend. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. And God was his friend. And when we look into the scripture, lady, we want to, you know, the Bible laid it out there for us to learn from him, you know, learn to walk in the footsteps is the way that Abraham walked. Because he set an example for his descendants. Now, we go to chapter 16 that we left up last week. And here we have where we said that Sarah was waiting for a child. And I want to show you this scripture later on as we go along. You realize that Sarah was never changed to Sarah later on, as Abraham was to Abraham. That Sarai never did have a revelation from God. Because she was not called of God. God only dealt with Abraham. God called him, and of course, being that Sarai was his wife, of course he took his wife with him and his households of servants and left the land of Mesopotamia to go down to where God said to him, I will show you a land that I will later give it to you. You know, and we know that, of course, the nephew Lot came along. But I want to show you this chapter 16 here now, that you find that it was already 10 years down the road. God called Abraham when he was 75. Sarai was 65 years old. 10 years different. And now, the thing that happened since they left Ur of Chaldees, they came down and you know there was a famine that drove them to Egypt. And how that Abraham lied concerning Sarah being his sister. Alright? And almost got the Pharaoh into trouble. But yet God stayed his hand upon Pharaoh and give him a warning in the night that you are taking the wife of a prophet. And God spared prophet and spared Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, of course, wasn't happy, and he rebuked Abraham, telling you, Sarah is your wife. That's the same one is very clear from what you read. As Pharaoh was telling him, Sarah is your wife, not your sister, that is to say. But Abraham later on still committed the same mistake when he came to Abimelech. Because there is this feeling of fear and anxiety of what is going to happen. And I believe many of us too. When we come in a situation with that, we are caught in a state of anxiety. We are apprehensive of what's coming. You see. So now, all that thing happened. They went back. After they left Egypt, they went back to Hebron again. And then there was these kings from the east, the four great kings of Mesopotamia came and raided the five kings down in the southern part of the Dead Sea because they failed to pay the tribute which they were doing every year. But those five kings were tired of it. After the 12 years or the 13 years, they refused to pay. And so the king from Mesopotamia came down and came down to fight against them. And that's when Lord was taken and Abraham went to rescue Lord and came down back to Melchizedek. Now, all this happened within the space of 10 years. Alright? And here it was now, this chapter 16, Abraham in verse, you can see that Abraham in verse 3, the Bible said, and Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and give her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. Right. Because after all, we must understand, in those days they can live up to 180 years because God is bringing down the ages of hundreds to 120 years. Okay? This is what we have. 120 years is the range of lifespan of modern day people now. But many people don't live until even 100 years old. But at that time, Sarah was 65 to 75. Now, still okay. You know, she still could have egg from her ovaries. You know, but the problem is that she couldn't conceive. Abraham must be healthy, obviously. You know, but somehow, miracle doesn't happen. Conception didn't come together. You know, the eggs and the sperm just do not meet, whatever the cause. Alright? We do not know whether, perhaps Abraham was Sarah. We don't. The Bible didn't tell us that. But now he was 85 years old. Wasn't an old man yet. Okay, just middle age. And for 10 years already that Abraham had told Sarah, God called me out, God promised me that I will be a great nation, I will have a lot of descendants. You know. Of course, Sarah said, all right, I'll follow you. Because being a good wife, after all. So, but 10 years now, 1 year passed, 1 year passed. Every time Abraham and Sarah came together and slept together, and yet there was no conception. And yet, you know, a woman in those days, it's a stigma if a woman do not carry a baby. So, what do you think Sarah feel? You know, so she might have nagged Abraham very often, perhaps every day, for 10 years. And it came time right now that finally she said to Abraham, in verse 2, Sarah said to Abraham, behold now the Lord have restrained me from bearing. Lord, this is the Lord, your Yahweh. The Lord here is Yahweh. Capital L-O-R-D-O in capital letter means Yahweh. Alright? He said, the Lord now. I mean, you know, as I said, Abraham knew Yahweh very well personally because Yahweh appeared to him, talked to him. But Sarah never had this experience. He just believed what Abraham said. Okay, I don't know your God. You say you this God let you. Okay, fine. But perhaps he's the one who restrained me from having a child. So now she said, I pray you go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Look at the next statement. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. The Bible claims that Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. I think it's not just an instant like this. Neck, every day, you know, continue. What do you think? Perhaps the first time the word goes in, come out that side, goes in, come out that side. After a while, it didn't go in that way anymore. He get up into the head and he got a headache. And got to a place that finally, okay, all right, Sarah. I want you to examine it. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, the serpent came and seduced Eve, right? Seduced her. So she was seduced, she yielded herself to the serpent and conceived Cain. And she went and, neck, Adam. And what did the Bible say when God came down to judge the three beings there? He said to, God said to Abraham, because you hearken, or Adam, said, because you hearken to your wife, the ground is covered. Thorn and thistle will spring forth. Now, what's the difference between Adam hearkening to Eve and compared it to Abraham hearkening to Sarah? What's the difference? Here we see this. In Adam, he hearkened to his wife. Well, was to save her. The difference is that he have to save her anyway, because if he doesn't save her, he will be the only one upon this earth. You will not exist. I will not exist. Is it alright? Sure. Every man loves his wife, but there are some that do not. Yeah. That's the truth, right? He said, he loves his wife, but he did something wrong that is already dead. So, Adam had to do something, save her. So he hearkened to it and yielded himself to that voice to save her. Alright? And of course, brought trouble to the world. Every one of us that are born are sinners. But Abraham's case is different. God promised Abraham, that you would have a son by Sarah. Obviously, because when he said you promised someone a son, it has to be by your legal wife, not by a concubine or somebody else. You know? But Sarah cannot wait. And so, when Abraham hearkened to her, he was not trying to save Sarah, as Adam did to save Eve. He was pleasing the wife. Now that's where the problem really is. Many times men please the wife and we got ourselves into big trouble. You know what happened? The trouble is that all the relations, anybody related to Abraham, they will have a problem. So who was born? Ishmael. That's why we have problem. You see? But now let me say this. Did God ever ask a man to hearken to his wife? The only one time that you read in the Bible, the only one time that God ever told a man to hearken to his wife is in chapter 21, 12. Here we see, yes. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land, because of thy born woman. In all that Sarah have said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be. Alright? Because Ishmael was in the same household now, and there's always that problem existing between Hagar and Sarah. You know, so Sarah said, no, take the woman out. I mean, you know how you feel. Ishmael is your son. And God told Abraham, how can you be your wife now? So many times when we men hear that we may have a problem with the wife issue and nagging on that, we have to pray and I say, Lord, what do I happen on now? You know, of course, this issue of marriage is always there. But here, we see this picture of Abraham and how he handled issues. And this is why it is a challenge for us to try to emulate, you know, to follow in that footstep of the wisdom of Abraham and not follow his mistake that he made. But we learn from the mistake that he made. Alright, so go back to chapter 16 now, and of course last Friday, while we were discussing, while we were sharing, and I want to say this just for the benefit. If you look in chapter 16 verse 7, you know when Hagar left the camp, because she was kind of mocking, you know, Sarai, and Sarai was not happy with her because she got a conception and she has the wife of Abraham. She was conceived. And so of course Hagar laughed. And when Hagar laughed, the verse 7 said, the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness. Now, whenever you read the Bible, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, I want you to realize that's a theophany of God. Okay, that's a theophany of God. That is to say that whoever sees this theophany, whether in the vision that you can see the face and everything, there's only one face. Because God has only one face, and that's the face of Jesus Christ. So when the Bible said, the angel of the Lord, okay, and that's none other than the messenger of God himself in theophany form. Then we also discussed last Friday in verse chapter 15, these are the things that I want just to touch and give you the benefit. Verse 1. And after this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in the vision. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in the vision. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now, what is this when you read the Bible like this? The word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, it's not that the Lord said unto Abraham, but the Bible clearly said, the word of the Lord came unto him. The Bible did not say, the Lord said to Abraham. Whenever you read verse like this, the word of the Lord, it means the same what you read in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word of the Lord is also the theophany, the same as the angel of the Lord. So that is to say, God came down in the form of a man, alright, and he spoke to Abraham. So the only thing is that here he's talking about the word of the Lord came forth in the form that could be seen, and God spoke to Abraham. The angel of the Lord came to Hagar, that means he personally came to Hagar. Alright? So the Bible gives us this understanding. A lot of people don't seem to be able to figure out, and they don't understand this sort of thing. And even that we discussed last Friday about Melchizedek in chapter 14 giving the tithes of all. How did he give tithes? How was the tithe given to Melchizedek? And how did Melchizedek collect all those tithes? Huh? A lot of people read it and we never thought about it. But there was the question that was asked by Sister Bree. And of course, simply now, he sacrificed it. Everything that belonged, that came into the hand of Abraham, he gave it as a burnt offering. Of course, you have nothing to do with gold and silver. You don't burn them. If he had 1,000 cows, 100 is sacrificed to the Lord. If he had 1,000 sheep, 100 is sacrificed to the Lord as a burnt offering. And I want to say this. And a lot of people just follow commentaries. Alright? You know, they go and buy books and look at the commentaries. And now you can get free commentaries with your insults. And a lot of times people look at it and they take it for granted that this commentator tells everything the truth. Tithes, in the first place. Alright? In the first place, tithes was first introduced here by Abraham. We know that in ancient times people offered offerings in the worship. That is true. But tithes are the first that were ever mentioned. And he was the one who set the example that 10% belongs to the Lord. Because God gives, we give back. You see. So this is how the Abraham set the example for his descendants to follow. You understand it? Okay, with that we understand. So let us go back to chapter 16 and continue it from there. Verse 10 now. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thine affliction. But the angel continued to tell Hagar, he will be a wild man. That's in the King James Version. But in the actual translation, the word wild here is a wild donkey, a wild ass of a man. You know what a donkey is like? An ass. Sometimes they're quite uncontrollable, you know. Okay? And he said that Ishmael will be a wild ass. Wild donkey. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hands against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. That is to say, he will survive. And if you look at what's happening to them among the Arabic people, that's where the Ishmaelite came from. I mean, no, the Arab came from. They came from Ishmael. And he said, verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God see me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that see me? Wherefore the well was called Bela Haroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beren. Now, the word Bela Haroi means God who sees, the all-seeing God, or God who watches. So Hagar, you know, she was amazed. She was not wife, you know, and suddenly God appeared to her. So she said, wow, this is a God that sees. And I'm seeing God. You know, because there's the angel of the Lord that came to him, her. And the way the angel of the Lord spoke to her, she will recognize that this is none other, not just any God that perhaps, you know, where she came from Mesopotamia, living in the household of Abraham, and seeing all the relatives and the people living out there, worshipping all kinds of idols. Now, one other thing here you need to know is, go to the book of Psalms 83. And you'll find here in book Psalms 83, there is a verse that mentions about the kind of man, person that Ishmael was. Over in chapter 83 and the Ishmaelite. I know it's there in this verse here. Verse 6? Alright, there you go. Psalms 83, verse 6. The Tamarik of Edom and the Ishmaelite. So now in Psalms 83, we realize he's talking about the enemies of Israel. And that's why Ishmaelites are always against Israel. The majority of them, that's to say. And then to know what the Ishmaelites are like, go to the book of Judges, chapter 8, verse 24. Book of Judges, chapter 8, verse 24. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earring of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. So this Ishmaelite man, they all gold ring in the, they have rings in the ear. Some people say, oh, how can they must be very sissified? No. Women who wear earring are magnified. And men who were sissified. Now, this symbol of this, the earring and the Bible have been, we are told that you make a hole and punch a hole to hang something in that hole, you are a slave. You are a wild man. You are a carnal person. And today you can see some men wearing earrings, right? They think they look very macho. They are wild. And many of them, they wear it, they like to look, you know, look like gangster, some kind of abeng look, that sort of thing, you know. Wild men, really like tux looking. Or else they will tattoo their arms and things. The Bible forbid all these things. The Bible forbid you to tattoo yourself or cut, make holes and all this. But this one it is. Wild people. And people don't realize it. The thing is a fashion trend. Even innocent young people are following because of peer pressure of someone who maybe look at a tiny mix with that and they follow. You know? So the Bible gives us the understanding about Ishmael. So you can understand that when Abraham hearkened unto Sarai to take Hagar, the problem is that it goes down to his seed, his descendant. Not only just the problem among the Ishmaelites themselves, in the world today we can see all the Arabic world. Huh. And in fact, Ishmael was given 12 sons, great nations. And Israel also had 12 sons, 12 tribes. And the relationship between Ishmael and Isaac's people, just come, look at that. What happened today? And the Bible tells us it's not like there will be against other people and other people against them, and they'll be fighting among their own brethren, and they will continue to survive. Basically, because God promised Hagar, there will be a big multitude of people. And they were living in that region where there are a whole lot of black gold. Without the black gold, the Arabic people will not be what they are today. You can be sure of that. You see, there will be a different kind of people. And we see that they are hands against other country, and you can see that they have a religion of their own, and later on there is this fanatic group that go into terrorism, radicalized into killing people, killing their own kind too, right? You can see, you can read, you read that in the newspaper recently. Once wanted to bomb somebody, a group of people pilgrim who were at Mecca, I think. What do you want to kill all kind? And the Bible prophecy is there. Because this is a wild man. You see. Well. And that's the thrill of the serpent. That serpentine nature was stirred up. Now we are all mixed. We are a race of people that we are mixed today. But in us we have that serpentine nature. Now yesterday while I was studying a little on this, and then there's something which I now look back and I said, oh, how foolish I was not to look at my own bio carefully. Instead of when I was writing the book, Genesis, I extract all these verses from Esau, you know, just so that I could go through every verse and then explicit it. I forgot even to look at my own, you know, the pages of my Bible where I put notes on. And I was wondering then, what happened after the day of the Tower of Babel? How, and I already taught this years ago, it was in my book, it was in my Bible on it, and I failed to notice it. The people you see this God always give us an answer in the Bible. I don't care what science tells you, okay? I don't care what archaeologists tell you. Many times, a lot of time, there's a lot of theories. But those who really study properly, even those who are archaeologists and scientists and or historians, if they really put the facts right together, it will not contradict the Bible. But many of them just throw out theories out there. And you find that the Bible will not attest to it. Now I was wondering then, except when the Bible gives us this understanding. All the events that happen in the Bible here are mainly centered in the Middle East. Interesting enough, all you read there from the day of the creation, it's always Middle East. Right? And of course the migration, the people move up north, to Europe, east, to South Africa. So then, when the Gospel came, then you find that the Bible from that gospel going out, it mentioned about the Roman country, the Roman Empire. Isn't that right? Yes, he measured about 30 degrees and all these other places. Right. So now, the story in the Bible now, in the New Testament, it goes up. But what about the East? This area of the world, the Asian country. Oh, you find it in the Bible, only in the book of Revelation. Isn't it so? About what's happening right now. So the Bible has three sections. One, it begins in the Middle East. Two, then the gospel spread north to Europe. Then the last day, Asia, it comes to what's going to happen. But there's one thing that puzzles me is that where did the Chinese people come from? There are three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. You know? And I really had studied years ago, and then I have my note right there, and I didn't even see it. And last night when I was looking through them, I said, oh my goodness, was here, I should have written something in the book. Let's go just for your information. I'm just tracking a little bit to help you understand. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter chapter 10. Just to show you in where the Chinese people come from. Alright? And where the northern Indian people come from. And where those in Mongolia up north, near Russia, and the Russian people, where they came from. Now, I already taught this years ago, and I completely forgot it. But look at it. In chapter 10, verse 21, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. Now, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. Now, Eber is where he's the son of Shem. And the people came down. The genealogy traced from Shem to Eber. Later on, that's where Abraham was called. Alright? When Abraham was called to cross the river Euphrates down to Canaan land, the word Eber will come from the word Heber, with the H in front. And that's why they call it Hebrew or Ebri. And also one who crossed over from the other side is called Hebrew. Okay, now watch what happened. The Bible now is centered upon Shem. And if you can go right now, how he said about the children of Shem, and it comes to verse 24, Arphaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Pelad, for in his day was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Jotan. Interestingly, I totally forgot. And all we talk about was always Pelah. Because Pelah was interesting because he lives in the days when the Tower of Babel was built. And it was in his days that the earth, that as the Bible said, was the earth divided. That means the whole earth structure, the continent of the earth, was shifting because the water was drying up. That's why there were a lot of division, the earthquake, volcano action, shifting, so that the earth has seven continents today. The earth divided into seven continents. Before the flood, there was no continent. There was just one whole piece of solid earth. There was no Mediterranean Sea, no Pacific Ocean, no Atlantic Ocean. You know that. But a lot of people doesn't know that. I'm telling you that. And the earth was not tilted. But now it's tilted. And all the water came down from the heavens up there, the solid, you know, layer of water that surrounded the earth to protect the earth. And there's no rain. The rain came up from the ground. There was never rain until the flood and after the flood. Why? When the water came down, it covered the whole earth completely. Now the water goes up and God took some of them up and left the rest upon this earth. And so we don't have protection for UV light. And that's why we have four seasons. We have hot, cold. It wasn't so in the days of old, before the flood. And so when the water went up, the water came down already. It split the earth crust and break it up and divided in seven continents. It was also in Pelat's day that the language came. The various languages. There was only one language in those days, and I believe it is Paleo-Hebrew. And Paleo is a very ancient writing, all because of characters, drawings. Now, the Bible said, I want to show you this. I have it here in my Bible and highlighted it and I forgot about it. And he says here, and his brother's name was Jordan. Wow, who's Jordan? After all, the Bible mentioned, as I said, when he mentioned the line genealogy, he always traced the firstborn. Firstborn, 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 right now, right? But now the Bible said Peleg was the firstborn. He had a brother called Jordan. Now, and he said, Jordan began Amadad, Shelab, Hazam Magal, and Jerah, Hadoram, Uzzah, Bilah, Obah, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobah. All these were the sons of Jordan. How many sons were there? 13. Big group of people. Where did they go? The answer is right now, the next verse. And their dwelling was from Misha, has now gone to Shaphar, a mouth of the east. Why the Bible specifically said that? Where did it go? You know, when the people came down from Mount Ararat after the flood, right? It was in the mountain. In the Armenian region. And there was this river that goes down at Tigris and Euphrates, they go down into the Persian Gulf. So when the people start coming down, Noah, after the flood was gone, dried up, the oil was dried up, they came down, going down eastward. Right, from the mountain. Then they went, one group went westward to the mount, to Shinar, the plain that was there. Right, I mean, nobody wants to live in the mountain in those days. They want to find places where they can plant. They can raise their cattle and goats. So they came down. The Bible said the people, actually there is some other place where they came down, and they went and found Sinai, right? That's when Peleg and the people went down westward. Came down, then went down westward to the plain of Sinai. Jordan went continuing eastward. Eastward past Iran, today Persia. Alright. And at the east, extreme east of Iran, if you look at the map, northeast, the border of Iran is a place called pronounced Mishap. It's from this same word in the Bible in verse 30. Mishap. They went all the way eastward and continued from Iran. They were the first people to walk that Silk Road, actually. Because there is always a trade road, right? Somebody must have created from the very beginning. So they went from there, they went over there, towards China. That's why the year that these people moved, if you look into history, when I look in the chronology, I was thrilled by it. Because the period of the time of this was 2200 BC. Or 2300, 21 in that period. Because life of Peleg was 237 years. So within that period, the Chinese, and if you go and look at the Chinese history, the first dynasty was in BC 2100. So if they have left that place in 2200 BC and they went eastward to China, 100 years later, they formed a dynasty. And the Chinese language was still all those paleo writing, you know, these characters with all the drawing. It was there. And the history that they recorded about the Wang Ti and all that thing, you know, all that, you know, about Sun Ti. Oh no, I don't know all these characters were Chinese, so I might not pronounce it right. But they were worshipping the one true God. And the emperor and those that were the only one that can offer a sacrifice. You see, where it came from. All the way back before, after the flood, people are already sacrificing. And emperor as king and priest offering sacrifice. Because God was not dealing with the people there. He was dealing with people in the Middle East. He left that people over there for a while. But there were stories they have recorded about the flood. Where did the Indian come from? In northern India were a part mixed together with the Havik people. And the northern part, where you have, you turn above, you have the Shamic people, or Jordan's people, as you say, mix with Japhetic people. That's why in the northern part of India, somewhere there you got this Aryan race. They're so mixed. But today, they're so much mixed together now. We cannot claim what we actually are. I don't know how many percent of that. You see. But in all of this, you can see, from the scripture, telling us all this history, and yet we can see that when God does something, Satan will move along to disrupt the plan of God. So when he chose Abraham, that is his choice now, as I said. And because when he chose Abraham, it promised him that he will be a great nation. And we know that after a while, that when he was in this trouble with the kings and he fought the battle, he was victorious, and he was very, very apprehensive about what's going to come upon him. And that's why we read over in chapter 15. After this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Fear not. Abraham was in a state of deep thought about a lot of things, apprehension, what might come upon him. Because he just fought and won a victory against those four wicked kings from the east. And after a few days, when he sat down and he began to think, what if they come back? Huh? What if they come back with a big army? And when they come back to fight against me, what have I to defend myself? And what about this Canaanite in whose land I'm now dwelling in? And this army came down to fight against me. They were fighting against all the other cities as they had done before. So what is going to happen to me? This Canaanite might even kill me. You know? And then you might be thinking and say, "Lord, you promised me. You know, what about the promise that God had given to me? He pledged me when he called me out of Ur of Chaldee." So a lot of things went through his mind. I believe many of us too, when we are in doubt of certain things, when we think a lot of things, we're just getting anxious. And God knew it, that he was thinking all these things. He came down and said, "Abraham, fear not. I'm your shield and I'm your great reward." Good enough, he was happy. That might be in the afternoon time when he sit under a coconut tree and think about it. Then after that, he told the Lord, he says, he says over in verse 2. He says, whatever you give me, what good is that? All these things that you bless me, the inheritance that I receive, what good is it for me since I have no child to give to except Eliezer, my steward? You know, he might be pointing all these things. You know, God left him for a while, and when the night time comes, when the sun set, he came to Abraham again. And now the Bible says, and behold, the word "behold" is a new beginning, huh? The Lord came. It's not the same conversation. People always think the same. No, when there was a "behold," it's something that comes. If God is already talking to Abraham from verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, then the word "behold" not necessarily be that. So there, Abraham was sitting on there and thinking again, says, "Lord, what about, you know, I'm childless and all this thing that I have, what's the use? I'm going to give to Eliezer, you know." Then behold, the Lord, again the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to him. He appeared, God appeared to him again. And he said to him, this man, Eliezer, will not be thy heir. But one that came forth out of thy bowels shall be thy heir." And then the Lord brought him out from where he was. Maybe under a coconut, under a tent, whatever. Come on, look into the sky now. It's dark. Can you see the stars up there? Count the stars if you can. I only mentioned the stars. Before he mentioned about the sun. But now God mentioned about the stars. And the stars, as I said, when you refer to this, it's always referred to the saints of God. Not Israel. the spiritual seed, the seed that God promised Abraham, was a spiritual seed, and he was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When as far as the stars is concerned, the heavenly seed. But when the sun are referred to, is the people of Israel. That's why Abraham had two seeds, so to speak. One spiritual one. And that was what God was concerned with. The natural one, of course, is what Abraham was interested in. And what Sarah likes to have. Would like to have. You see. Alright? So, in this promise that we see here, how God dealt with Abraham, because he believed God. And you find in verse 6, he said, he believed in the Lord and he was counted to him for righteousness. The word righteousness, counted to him for righteousness, counted, is another word, impute. In the Hebrew, if I can pronounce it, kashav. It means to weave. You know what's weaving, right? Or plait. So, like when Adam sinned against the Lord, God imputes sin upon him. His sin is weaved into him. And when Abraham believed God, righteousness was weaved into him. So now that when we believe in God, that's the reason why we are weaved with the righteousness of Christ. That's, you know why the word is the weaving. It's the life of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God lives in his own word. You cannot separate the Spirit of God from his own word. Right. So here now is this important seed that God gave to Abraham, the one concerning the heaven, the descendant, a multitude of nations, as he promised. Because Abraham can only be a father of one nation, literal, physical, and that's Israel. But he can be the father of many nations, spiritual. The Indians, the Chinese, the Filipino, whatever. Amen? All because of the promise given to him through Jesus Christ. Alright, so of course, the rest of the chapter we know how the God told him, because Abraham was wondering, when would I inherit the land that you promised me? So God had to deal with it and show him how that he will pass through a time of great persecution and darkness. See? And you know one thing that the Bible tells us in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that God put Abraham to a trial. Right? He came out refined as gold is refined. And that's one thing about faith. True believers like Abraham, if we are from the seed of Abraham, we will have to go to trial and we must willingly accept it without grumbling. But we still grumble. Don't we? Right? Sure. You know. I mean, look at Abraham. I mean, I don't know, but many times perhaps Abraham, you know, hearing all this nagging from Sarah, I think he probably complained to the Lord a little bit. I cannot listen to them nagging all the time. Even in the book of Proverbs, you know, in this, or Ecclesiastes, he said about men, said they might, you know, I'd rather not stay home with a nagging wife, rather go out there, it's mountain somewhere. You know. So yeah, we all go to trial. Abraham went to, but the thing is that trial is a trial of faith. When everything goes right, we don't worry too much. We think, we thank the Lord, we praise the Lord, but when problem comes, go through a trial, we grumble. That's not the way. In all things, the Bible said, we praise God and thank God. Even if cancer strikes our body, because God has a reason. We just have to wait before the Lord and ask, why this thing happened to me, Lord? Is there something that I've done that was wrong? Or is it the food that I've eaten that causes me to be like that? Because the Bible did say, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? And if you destroy it, God said, I will destroy it for you. That's why we need to keep the body. That's why many people don't realize, and they eat until they die. You know, instead of obesity, or again, that's going to some kind of terrible diseases. In chapter 16 now, as I say, the reference to the dealing with Hagar. And we go to chapter 17 now. But verse 16 of chapter 16, the last part says, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham, and he was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Okay. Now in chapter 17, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. How many years since God called Abraham? 24 years. Right? 75 plus 24, 99. So, in our field, we are trial. Sometimes I believe that, I believe there are many Christians. They are Christian for the first year. Okay, fine. Then the second year, third year, fifth year. By the time it comes to 10 minutes, they'll say, they just leave the church. They don't want to go to church anymore. And this affects because the survey has been taken. Many of them says, when I grow a little, I will turn secular. Because religion, because Christianity or the faith in Jesus Christ to them is just a religion. No, I don't have religion. I have a true faith. Because religion is a word that has been misused. Originally, the word religion came from the Greek, the Latin word, religo. Means to bind back. God take you back. Having a relationship with God. And I say this, Abraham, when God called him, there was such a special relation between him and God. He can relate to God. And that's why God can call him his friend. What is a friend for? When you're in it, you call upon him, he'll help you. Right? Sure. You see. And he will teach you. And we have not only a God who loves us. There is another time when God tells a man to hearken to his wife. Not just Abraham to hearken to Sarah to put away Hagar. But there is another case that God called a man to hearken to his wife. And that man was Jesus Christ. His wife was the church. They are dying, they are crying out for a Savior. Go now and show your love to her. Yes. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and me. Huh? What relationship is there between we and our Lord Jesus? That's how God become very personal. If you have this faith of Abraham, walk with God. Abraham, be perfect, walk before me. That's a trial of his faith. Right? And he said, I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and walked and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a God, for the father of many nations have I made thee. Abraham means exalted father. Abraham means elevated father. No, exalted father is just one. Elevated father means higher, to a higher elevation. You see, that's why Mount Zion is called beautiful for situation, beautiful for elevation. Mount Zion is not the highest mountain in the world. But it's elevated because of what? Because of Christ Jesus. Abraham was nobody. Just a common man. Not God only make him an exalted father of a nation of Israel, but he's going to elevate him higher to where he'll be the father of many nations. And I thank God for Abraham. Because God chose him, he carry out, walk very faithfully and perfect before the Lord. Alright? And verse 6, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come up of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed. Between you, me, and your seed. After all, if the seed is not considered, then it's just between two persons. But the seed are considered. Alright. And verse 8, I will give unto ye, all thee, all the land of Canaan, wherein you are a stranger now. I will give all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Can anybody take away the land of Israel from Israel? They got all the mad characters out there under the Ishmaelite blood. They want to drive Israel into the sea. Right? Right. And you know, the name of Israel is so much hated by many. And as long as people hate Israel, the Christian, the true believer, are also hated. Right? Is it not true? Because we are tied to Israel. Because we have the same father, Abraham. And now, of course, in verse 11, I want to ask the question. Here, I want to show you something here. In this covenant, God said in verse 10, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. So anybody who is 8 days and above. Verse 13. He that is born in thy house, and he that is born with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Okay. My covenant with you. Okay, let's do it. A token is needed. Every child that is 8 days old and above must be circumcised. Now, you will never find circumcision practice prior to this. But there are some theologians that say, oh, it's a common practice. Really? That's just not because sacrifice is a common practice. This is the only time that we see. Go and look into, well, you got your computer, go and do Google and all these things, you know, find out. See, what if people make sense to you? If anyone say that you have been practiced before this time, and he's, I don't know what kind of person he is, he's just guessing. Just that the offering was practiced way back. Right? Even the tidings, people give the offering as, you know, offering like tithing, but don't call it a tithe, just call offering. But the Bible now says that Abraham give a tithe, give an offering of 10%. So the word tithe then being used. In ancient times, prior to Abraham, nobody tithes. They offer to God. I don't know what they offer, how much they offer. But now this is precisely 10%. That's why the tithe is used. Abraham introduced it. Later on, Moses used it. For the children of Israel, God said, do that. And why do we church practice what we practice? Because the tithes belong to God. And many people don't give their wages. If you earn $2,000, you need to give God $200 minimum. You don't have to pay. God never asked you to pay. Abraham introduced it. God did not tell him, Abraham, you do it. Abraham did it on his own will. He set the example. And that's why he was blessed. God said, I'm your shield. I'm your great, exceeding great reward. Not because God gave things to him. No. Because God himself is Abraham's reward. You know what my reward is? I don't know about you. I don't have a lot of money. But my reward is God himself. He's my savior. He's ever present. He's real. Conscious of him. Like Abraham was for him. You see? And I said this before. If Abraham, the father of our faith, he introduced this tithing by giving, not paying, Because we are not under the law. It's only when Israel came into as a nation, God made them pay. So to keep the Levite, who have no inheritance, because all the tribes, they have lands. But the Levite, nothing. They are the only tribe that serve in the temple. They minister to the need of the people. So God said, all this tribe must give 10% to the Levite. It's a law. But Abraham was not under the law. He introduced it. And God never tell you to pay. God tell you to give. If you don't give, it's okay. But God's eye is watching. Don't expect God to bless you. You know what, people? You know, I taught my children from young to give tithes. When I was working at that time in a hospital, you know, I was getting about $1,000. $100 immediately I put it to the church. I give a portion to my wife. Maybe $500 for marketing and every other thing. The rest is reserved for paying electricity bill or whatever. My wife immediately from that $500 pay 10%, give 10% to the church. From that, she gave my son and my daughter their pocket money. They immediately give all of the pocket money. When it's $20, they give $2. How many percent is that? From my wages. You see, we don't think much about money because we know God is there to help us. It's a blessing of giving. And that's why today we're happy. We have all that we need. We don't need a car. We don't need a luxurious house. No. The Bible said that Abraham did not live in a city. He lived in what? In tent. Moving about. Common people. But he was looking for that city that had a foundation. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, is composed of people, not buildings, not roads, not streets, no land, not shop houses, but people. That's the holy city. So you want God's blessing? And I know some people don't give of their tithes. Some people reluctantly, very unhappy giving their tithes too. But give of a joyful heart. You don't expect God to bless you. Because God, you know, you want the blessing of God, look at Abraham. Huh? He said, you give me all the blessing with all the inheritance, all this material, but what good is that? I don't have a seed to give to. You know? And God says, you know what? I'm your great reward. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your reward. What do you need? $1 million? $2 million? $5 million? $1 billion? Look at all the rich men in the world. With them billionaire, what can they do with the money? They want to take it to heaven or to hell? No. God is my reward. That's all I need. In the present help, and when I go from this life to the next, He's there. You understand what I'm saying? This is reality, Abraham. And that's why God said, be perfect and walk before me. Follow the example. And here, as we continue, it says here now, it says, circumcise, in verse 11, the flesh of your foreskin. Now, my question, don't be embarrassed, because of all we are learning, these are facts. Huh? Don't be Puritans. You know, Puritans, don't talk about sex. Some people don't talk about sex, right? Yeah, in Barbara's days, back in the 50s, yeah, there are no people like to talk about sex. You know? That's why sometimes even in Singapore right now we have problem with young people. In the paper they reported recently about many young people that got STD. You know what's STD? Not the straight time department, huh? STD is sexually transmitted disease or venereal disease or VD, right? You know that young people, teenagers. How were they raised up? Huh? And there are a lot of discussion in the forum. Oh, well, they said the government should do something about this. What? Your parents. Parents who raise up a child. Let them know what it's all about the sex. Uh-huh. Yeah. And if any of you here want to have a going to have a child, going to have children, it's very simple to teach them. When they are baby, when they are 1 year, 2 year, 3 years old, shower with them together. No problem with that. And that's how they began to look at the human body. Then teach them what that is. Difference between mama and daddy, mama and you, or you and daddy. Depends whether it's a girl or boy. Simple. Raise them up, they know. Teach them about the birds and the bees. Don't leave it to the school to do that. Huh? That's no problem. I remember my daughter Zoe, she's not here in the room now. But when she was young, when we talked about birds and bees, she said, ooh, like that one, huh? You know, of course, she said, so where do you think you come from? It takes the male and the female. Of course, the young people is finally strange, you know. Right, sure. But when are you going to teach them? Oh, they will learn it from a Playboy magazine. That's what American people do, you know. Or today, go internet. They can go and search for that on YouTube. On Google. Wrong. What did they get? What did they learn? Not the right stuff. When it comes to any subject, there is always the right way and the wrong way. The good and the bad. The bad. The pro and the con. The Bible tells us as children of God, parents who are Christian, that we should raise our children in the right way. Teach them. But sometimes we find it so hard. They're very simple, actually. Be frank. Tell the truth. Don't tell them your children, oh, you came from the birds. Some of the stock came and put you on the doorstep. No, they all found you in a trash can. Oh, no, your mother probably knows about it, you know. It's common. See? So, now what do you talk about? Foreskin. Okay, why the foreskin? Why not, of course now it's called circumcision, alright? But before the word circumcision is used, before this word is used in English, in the language, it just said cutting away the flesh, right? So cutting away the flesh, why not cut my yellow? Correct. Still a piece of flesh, right? Blood was shed, right? Isn't it? Why must it be the foreskin? It is because what happened in the garden. It's a sexual issue. Do you understand that? It's a sexual issue. You know. So when you shed blood on the foreskin, when you cut away the flesh, the blood will be shed. Now the issue is the blood. One, sins came through the garden in sexual affair, of fornication with the serpent. Blood was contaminated. So blood must be shed. Blood must be shed from that place. And you know that in the garden, after sin came, God came down and He judged the woman. Right? First He judged Adam, right? Of course He always looked for Adam first. He didn't look for the wife. And what have you done? Who said you were naked? Oh, this woman you gave me asked me to eat this fruit, so I realized eating that caused me to get naked. So he covered himself. Huh? And what did God tell Adam? Because you hearken to your wife, now I curse the ground. Torn and t-shirt you will bring forth. And for the rest of your life, you will toy this land for food. Now he turned to the wife, to Eve. He said, what have you done? So, well, you know this serpent? He seduced me. Right? And what did God? How did God judge her? I said, because what you've done, I will greatly multiply your conception. And now when people think about it, I don't think a lot. You don't get that learning. This what we have. You don't get it. You don't get the start of understanding denomination. What did God multiply her conception? Today the woman, in her lifetime, every year, at least 13 times. 13 times The cycle of life comes. The conception, you know, it's supposed to conceive every time the egg comes. So every time there is this cycle of this menstruation, it's a miserable time, right? How many of you women feel happy when you have your period? Of course not. Our God greatly multiplied your conception. And He said, when you come to childbirth, you will travail. There'll be a lot of pain. You'll be screaming, right? Yes or no? Yeah. Have you ever seen a cat? Or the dog, bow, 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 and trying to give birth, or the cow, moo, moo, moo. You never have. Have you seen a cow give birth? Have a dog give birth, a puppy? Yeah, they just poop. What comes out? Whoop, come, that's it. And the mommy just lick, and the puppy will just come and suckle, right? Is that right? No problem. And you see the cow standing up and give birth, right? That's it. Elephant. Nobody make noise except the humankind. Ayo! You know that, don't you? That's what the Bible said. Because of what is misused was that Eve had misused that reproductive organ. Supposed to be with the husband Adam, but she didn't wait. And here comes that rascal. Whispered dirty story to her ear, so to speak. And then she got seduced, a fornicated with the serpent. But now because of that, here we have the circumcision as a sin. The shedding of blood, because blood has been mixed. That's why we have serpentine nature in us. So that's why circumcision is there. And this is the token, God said, that you are my people. Anybody in your whole house or Abraham, they need to be circumcised. Right? You see? And no other country people ever circumcised. All the Muslims did. Of course, because they are from Abraham. They learned from there to Ishmael was circumcised at what age? Okay, we go on, you see. Verse 30 said, my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. My covenant shall be in your flesh. Oh, in your flesh. Yeah, of course, your children of Israel were physical people. They were, right? They were a nation of people. They were physical. So the token, the covenant is in the flesh. It's in the foreskin. I know there are some Jewish people here. How many of you brother were circumcised? Jonah was not circumcised. Jimmy was circumcised. Who else was circumcised? Yeah, Adam was circumcised. Dayton was circumcised. Yeah. Because it doesn't mean that you are a Jew. Huh? Some people say, I can prove to you I'm a Jew. That's not a way to prove that you are a Jew. There's nothing to do with that. I'm a Jew. Spiritual. Yeah, that's right. But our circumcision, where is our circumcision? You say it's in the heart. Let me tell you something. Before it was in the heart, before it can come into the heart, he said, circumcise the heart. That was what Paul was talking about. But when was the circumcision done? God said, now I'm going to tell this mystery here. My covenant shall be in your flesh, my everlasting covenant. The covenant God made with Abraham was not just the literal, but it was the spiritual. There came a man called Jesus Christ. God came in flesh, right? What did the Bible say? He was in the cross. God cut him. Yeah. Right? Yes. In the book of Daniel. What do you know? Daniel chapter 6. Just go. Just speak for you understand. We flesh it. Daniel chapter 9. And the 70th week of Daniel. And we have verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Right? You see? Daniel chapter 9 verse 20 says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, but for his people. Cut off. Cut off. You remember cut off? See? But not for himself, but for his people. So, Yahweh send Jesus Christ, born of a woman, like you and me, flesh. God dwells in him, right? At the cross, he was cut off. And that token that we accept the blood of Jesus Christ flowing down from Calvary. Yeah, that's what we have. The flesh God in flesh died, cut off for you and me. To pay a price, to be a token. So now he said, the token is the blood. Christ is my Savior. That's true. But the Spirit comes to live in the heart. So when you talk about flesh, it was God in Christ. But that flesh, when it dies, the Spirit came back. That's why he's able to come back on the day of Pentecost upon the disciples, upon the apostles, and coming back for you and me to make that life real. So, when this was done to Abraham and his people, so they remember that this coming away the flesh, that there are different people. There are people that were chosen by God Himself. And they need to realize this. That's up to this day. Those Jews out there, those true Jews, not all Jews are, you know, real believers. There are a lot of renegade Jews, huh? There are a lot of Jews that don't believe in God. They're atheists too. You see? But those who knew the history of Abraham, that God called him, that he was their father. These are the Jews that always remember. They keep the feast. They remember. They come. They're looking for the Messiah to come. Right? Do you understand? Because of this circumcision, they always talk about the circumcision. They know what and why on earth it was done on the 8th day, in verse 12. 8 days old. Why must it be? Of course, from that time, it's always the 8th day. But though Abraham was circumcised at 99. Because that was the first time he was introduced. But every child that is born later, on the 8th day they circumcise. Why on the 8th day? Because if you know the life cycle of the life cycle of blood and also the rhythm, the pattern of God is always in number 7. Do re mi fa sol la ti do, 7 days in the week and so on. So for 7 days, 7 colors in the rainbow. It's all that. And rainbow is caused by the 7 color came from what? Came from pure light, huh? Just light. There was no color in the light. Spectrum that came forth out of it. Right. So now, why 8 days? Because on the eighth day is a new day. It begins again the first day, right? Every cycle, the eighth is the first. And when the baby is born, on the eighth day, because the blood is building up, and on the eighth day, there's so much amount of beautiful blood cells. So when they circumcise, the baby is circumcised, well, they don't cry that much. Some people say, it's not painful. I tell the baby doesn't need to go. That's it. Okay. Very fast. Then the healing takes place very fast because of the blood cells that were there. Because the 8th day represents a resurrection. That's why God told them that Abraham circumcised on the 8th day. Because the 8th day is a new day. And Jesus Christ resurrected on the 8th day. It's a new life. All this battle was shown by God. Because it's a mystery. It's not for the people in the world that we're all crazy believing that nonsense. Really? Look at all the things that happen in the world. Do you know your body has a rhythm? And there's always a pattern of sevens everywhere. It's only the people who want to see. So I study about it and you see, very nice, very wonderful. But they do not realize that this is all put there by God for us to look at the mystery, the wonder of God. Alright, so let's continue. And now, here we have, God said in verse 15. In verse 14 he said, those that are not circumcised, okay, those that are not circumcised, is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. That means be separated from his people. Cut off from the people. If they don't want to have those foreskin cut off, then they'll be cut off from the people. That means they are rejected. That's not why a Christian must be circumcised in the heart. If we really are circumcised in the heart, God will accept us. Otherwise, we're not. You'll be left behind. Okay, and then God said in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah your wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings and people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Now, read this verse and people think Abraham was cynical. Ah, that's fine. That is funny, God. That is funny. You know what I mean? As if that is unbelief. No, it was not there. God told him that Sarai, no longer called Sarai, shall be called Sarah. From her you will get a son. And Abraham believed in God, and he was laughing for joy. He said, could you believe it? 99-year-old man have a son. Wow! He was laughing for joy, not laughing of being sarcastic. That's what people think, that it was sarcasm. No. He was thinking, how could it be? But now I did this. I believe in the Lord. You know, and express his feeling. That's wonderful. And then he said to her, oh, that Ishmael might live before you, might be in his, in your presence, that you will accept him. That's what Abraham wanted. That Ishmael would be accepted. Abraham, and God said to him, look, verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with thy seed, his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto him at this set time in the next year. And God left talking to Abraham. Oh, Abraham, one of course, is now to be accepted. But God said, no. Your wife shall give her a son, call his name Isaac. That's my covenant with him and his seed. But as well, I'll bless him. I'll give him 12 children, 12 sons. You'll be a great nation. You know, I know Ishmael had 12 sons, but I don't know how many daughters he had. You know. So that's what we see. And then over in verse 24, Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael was circumcised at the age of 13. What's the number 13 stand for? Rebellion. Rebelliousness. And that's what he was. A man. Alright, we are going to finish off the next chapter quickly. And here we have now the three angels that came to Abraham. So now remember, now Abraham is already visited by God at the age of 99. He was circumcised at the age of 99. And God already spoke to him. Isn't it interesting, huh? Alright. So now see what happened. After a little while later, maybe a few days later, God, the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plain of Mamre. Well, it was hot day, and Abraham, of course, you know, you don't want to go in the tent, so you go up there under the tree and do your work, whatever, and here came three men. Three men came, three strangers. And Abraham saw them walking down the pathway, and Abraham says, please, please, and he told them, please, don't pass me by. Come, rest a little while. I need some refreshment. Right? And I believe that Abraham recognized one of them. The same one that appeared to him as Melchizedek. The same face. You know, God has only one face. And that face is the face of Jesus Christ. When he appeared as a high priest, the only thing he dressed would be the robe. A priestly robe. But if he come before, like in Gideon, he would come like an army, dressed in an army uniform. Alright? If he come as a shepherd, he will fall like the three men, no, the two men on the road to Emmaus. He appeared with them, maybe like a stranger with a staff. That's all. You know. Here, the three men came, and Abraham recognized one of them, and he called them Lord Adonai, blessed are the earth, come, sit down. Who are the other two persons? Of course, it's none other than Gabriel and Michael. There's always there besides the Lord. You see? As it would be, like Elijah And Moses, when he was transfigured, the disciples saw Peter, James, and John. So then, of course, Abraham, go and make all that is necessary and bring out butters and milk. And verse 8 says, butters and milk and the calf, and then, of course, roast. And now, verse 9, and they say unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? Now, not that they do not know. As I said, it's not they do not know. But God was talking to Abraham out. Abraham was out from the tent. Around the tree. And the tent is not far from there. And in those days, in the desert or those plains, the voice carries, right? So if this Lord, one of them said to Abraham, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return. Now, the angel said, one of them said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it, the Bible said, heard it in the tent door, which was behind. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in there, but this time now, 99 years old and 89 years old, all the strength is gone. The eggs, ovaries dried up. Abraham's sperm count probably zero. Everything is gone. Old man tired. Old woman tired. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. So now, he says they were sick of oestrogen in age and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman because, well, menopause is gone. No more problem. Those people have passed menopause. No problem, right? Yeah. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord be old also? Of course, she gave her love inside the tent, right? Yes? You can just imagine. In the first place, the Lord spoke to Abraham, where is Sarah, thy wife? Just to make sure that Sarah heard everything. Because this would be the first time that Sarah knew who was dealing with the husband. And when God said, Sarah, next year, the time of life, she would have a child. Sarah said, You know, couldn't believe it. And then now when the Lord spoke, now I said, L-O-R-D, capital, Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. Oh my goodness, Sarah now realized. She didn't speak it out. She only was thinking in the mind, laughing in the mind. And God hears every thought. So don't think evil of anyone. God hears it. Your thought speaks louder than your word in heaven. And Sarah denied, saying, I love not. But she was afraid. Who was not afraid? Suddenly, you know, your secret thought was revealed. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. So the man laughed. Two men laughed. And the Bible said, and the men rose up from tents and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. You know, the three men decided to say, we are going to Sodom and Gomorrah because there's a great cry of sin out there. We want to go and check it out. And Abraham walked with them. You know, then the Lord was saying, can I hide anything from Abraham? He's my friend. I know him. I know the kind of person he is. So well, the Lord revealed to Abraham what his intention was. And what the rest of the chapter say? God told him, and he's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, oh, Lord, can you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God says, no. Would you destroy if there are 50 in righteous with all those people there? God says, no, if there are 50. It means Abraham says, wow. It means there's not 50. Oh, what if there's 45? God says, no, I will not destroy the city if there are 45. Then Abraham says, there's not 45. Okay, we deal down 40. That's a good bargain. Huh? Heckling over, you know. What if there are 40? No. If there are 40, I will not destroy it. Ah, it cannot be 40 now. Let me reduce by 10 again. What if there are 30? If there are 30, I will not destroy it. What if there are 20? I will not destroy it, God said. Well, now Abraham said, there are not even 20 righteous. What if there are 10? Because he knew that Lot is inside the city with his wife, with his household of servants, whatever is there. They are more than that. But what happened to them? Huh? What happened to all the family of Lot? God said, if there are 10, I will not destroy. Abraham knew. The family of his Lot, the household, probably all gone. They all have turned away from the God that they knew. Somehow, and went and joined the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked city. You know. And well, the angel went and go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But of course, there's the next story. But the thing is this: how that Satan manipulate all these events in the life surrounding Abraham. When Abraham came down, he brought along with him Lot. Lot wasn't a believer. Lot wasn't called, right? Isn't it? And because he wasn't called, of course, he became a thorn in the side of Abraham. And that's why the trail followed very closely to the seats of God to be a thorn in the sight of every one of us. Today what we have, the message we have, is so very much distorted and making a mess. No wonder people in the world consider we are a cult because of the name William Branham. How that the Branhamite misinterpret the word of God, lifting up the man. You know. So the true seed will move. The make believer, the false seed will come along in the same trail as we walk, and they'll follow. It will be a torment and a thorn in our sight. But we will fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, O Father. Bless, O Lord. Take it further, Lord, and bless those who will hear you on that video. We ask for grace today, Lord, that you bless us continually. Thank you, Father, for making us a part of the family of God. We ask for your grace now, in Jesus' name. Amen.